But before we do that, let's just jump into the Word. So we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 1. Now, I'd love to at some point unpack the whole chapter, because it's Ephesians chapter 2. And in fact, the whole book of Ephesians is one of my favorites. I love it, and it's just so rich, full of goodness. But unfortunately, time doesn't allow for today. But so I want to share a little bit about why I'm here. So we're going to rewind back quite a bit. So I grew up in Texas, which is the greatest state in the United States of America. I'm not just biased, it's true. And I grew up like pretty much every other Texan kid in the area. Most of everyone in Texas goes to church. Regardless of belief or not, you go. It's just one of the things everyone does. And I kind of make the joke, however true it may be, is that you always pass your you pass 10 other Baptist churches to get to your Baptist church on a Sunday. They just pop up all over the place. And so I grew up relatively normal life in Texas. And everything kind of went according to plan. You know, whenever I was younger, the thing I wanted most in my life was to grow up to be a rancher out in Texas somewhere raising cattle. And so very early on, I joined the FFA, which stands for the Future Farmers of America. And that was what I was wanting to do. And whenever I was 15, just before my 16th birthday, like days before, I found out my parents were getting divorced. And it was a quite abrupt, very out of the blue for me scenario. You know, there wasn't any kind of buildup with it. There wasn't any fighting or anything like that that took place prior. It was just, we're getting divorced and you're moving. So for me, it was a huge shock. It was a big shock to my system, and I didn't really know what to do. And I would talk to my family and friends, and they tried to encourage me, but it was very much the, I don't know, I guess sometimes the go-to Christian response is, well, I'll be praying for you. Or, which isn't a bad thing to say, by the way, but, you know, whenever someone's really in the dumps, just kind of having that one as our throwaway comment's not always the best. Or, you know, hey, Jesus loves you. And having that as kind of like my encouragement, being a 15-year-old kid, with going through this, I've got two older brothers who were off in the university and in the Navy, and not really having anyone to talk to or not really knowing how to react, I started rebelling really hard. So we moved up from San Antonio, which is in South Texas, up to North Texas in Dallas. And there I kind of formed myself a new life. So all the things I was used to, I didn't have. So I went to a very country school, where most people drove trucks taller than them, where, you know, cowboy boots were the thing and hats and all that kind of stuff, to a place where it was like punk kids and skaters and just kind of a whole different lifestyle, a whole another part of Texas. And so what I did was I thought, you know what, enough's enough. I've done the whole church life stuff. I've done the whole Christian stuff for a while, and I didn't really connect. So I'm going to go off and do my own thing. And so in order to kind of keep the peace at home, I stayed going to church. I had a local church there that I went to the youth ministry there and things like that. Often turning up to church, very drunk or very high. And I got into drugs and alcohol really hard, really fast whenever we moved up. And so what I did was I would still go to church, just so my parents wouldn't worry about me, and so everyone would kind of, you know, kind of get off my case a little bit. But inside, there was nothing there. I didn't want to be there, and I just went simply because. But around the time I started going, the church got a new youth pastor. His name was Josh, and this guy was a bit different from the rest of the youth pastors I'd grown up with throughout the years. So he came in, and like most new youth pastors, he wanted to get to know all of us youth. And so what he would do is that he asked to meet up with all of us individually. It was a fairly small church for Texas size. So he wanted to meet up with all of us individually. And I couldn't think of anything worse. You know, being a 16-year-old kid at this point, having some random guy who I don't know take me out to lunch or for a coffee, it was a bit, I'm okay, thanks. And then one day, I was at lunch at school and realized I didn't have any money with me. So I quickly got on the phone. Hey, Josh, remember that time whenever you said you wanted to go out to lunch? How are you feeling today? So he took me out to lunch, and you know, it was actually one of the biggest kind of life-saving moments for me. He shared the gospel with me in a way that I hadn't heard before. You know, it wasn't just this kind of sugar-coated message that a lot of us have probably heard throughout our lives. You know, it was the true heart-penetrating gospel. And he shared this with me, and it just started opening up my life and my heart a little bit to want to hear more. Now, he didn't share this with me, and I didn't drop to my knees and repent then and there and say, God, have me. But it was the beginning of a journey for me. And so I started meeting up with him regularly, and we were going through different books of the Bible. But one of the first things he ever shared with me was Ephesians chapter 2. And this was the thing that was started slowly kind of unraveling my hardened heart. And what he did was he just connected with me. He just shared with me. And as we went on this journey, I kind of started wanting to know more and more and more. And then eventually I submitted my life to the Lord and haven't really turned back. At this point, I was about 19 years old, and I was involved with another church. I had moved back down to San Antonio, and I was living there, and got involved in youth ministry, and just kind of got that taste of it. And that was it. I got locked in. So I joined a youth mission organization that is international, and they sent me over here to do a year out. And so I was. It's based in Burnley, but I was based in Clitheroe, and it was only supposed to be 10 months that I was supposed to be here. And if I'm honest, England wasn't actually the first place to visit internationally on my list. But I came anyways because I felt that's where the Lord had led me. And what happened was I met Becky on the second day of being here. And we started dating and we got married. And what should have been 10 months here in the UK has now turned into 11 and a half years. It'll be 12 in August, and I can't believe it. It's just been like that, and we're 10 years down, now 11, now nearly 12. So that's a little bit about me. And, you know, I'd love to at some point, you know, share more about my story and the things that God has really protected me from in a lot of ways as I've grown up. You got the very 5-minute version of it, but I want to just jump into the text a little bit and start looking at it. So, verse 1, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. This is one of the things that I had kind of explained to me and seen that, like, you know, I was dead in my sins. You know, I couldn't look to or try to run to God. I was dead in my sins, but I was very much alive and well in my rebellion against Him. I was very much alive and well in my rebellion of anything that had to do with goodness. But here's the crazy thing, and here's what's really cool, is that so many times in my life during my rebellion, I can see where God's grace has been touching me, even in those moments wherever I didn't even know it at the time. I'll give you one very quick example. Like I said, I rebelled hard. But one of the times, me and some friends, we found this massive TV. Remember the old massive flat screen TVs that were like that wide, that deep, and you know, about in between this size? They were huge. They had the weird front that you could scratch. We found one of those on the side of the road. Now, often in the States, if you want to get rid of something in your house that's big, you just shove it out to the street, put a sign that says free, and it'll be gone in a few hours, I guarantee it. You don't ever need to take it to the tip, someone will use it. So someone had done that, and we found this TV, and I pulled over and I said, guys, let's take it. So we took, and so my idea was a little bit more than just let's take it. So I took the plug end that goes into the wall, put it in the boot of my car, and closed it with the TV and the rest of the stuff hanging out the back, and drove. Now I had a little Ford Fiesta driving this massive TV on the back of it. So we quickly decided we were going to see how fast we could go without it breaking off. And so stupidly, that really quickly led to the motorway and other sorts of things. And so in a situation that is incredibly dangerous, that thing could have snapped off and hit someone behind me really easily. And just things like that, I'm with this massive TV bouncing behind my car. And not one police officer drove past, not one person tried to stop us or anything like that. And it's just one of those things of like, that could have led to something really serious. First of all, speeding, second of all, endangering other people's lives, that's not a mere ticket. That's probably some jail time. And that's just one of the many things. But seeing God's grace kind of be over me and protecting me in those times is just kind of outstanding, despite the rebellion that we all had, is that God's grace is still kind of there. Verse 2, in which, so we were dead in our transgressions and sin, in which we used to live when you followed the ways of the world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh, following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. Now, it's not something that we always like to talk about, of that being in a life that's deserving of wrath. But if we look at the holiness of God versus us, we're a bit short, aren't we? And one of the things for me that I always really struggled with is whenever I was wanting to kind of come to the Lord, or times whenever I had sinned badly and wanted to kind of come back, I always felt I had to kind of clean myself a little bit before I was able to just walk directly to the Lord. Which is a sad thing, isn't it, really, to think about? Of that, having this mindset of that I need to clean myself up a bit before I can go and approach the one who was willing to die for my sins. It's really crazy to kind of think about, really. And that was one of the things that I had explained to me really well, is that I didn't need to clean myself off before approaching the Lord. It's just approaching the Lord, saying, surrendering my life, repenting of my sins and believing that salvation is obtained. There's not this momentary clean-offness. And I don't know about you guys, but sometimes for me, I feel like I need to almost feel okay about myself before I can then just go to the Father and ask for forgiveness. Sometimes, I don't know about you guys, but for me, if I mess up, I wait. I don't really do this anymore, but I used to kind of have this like momentary period where I would just kind of let a few days go past and I wouldn't feel so quite bad about myself, and then I felt okay to go and talk to the Lord, which is completely backwards. But the thing is, and this is the crazy thing, is that us in our best day, whenever we feel our absolute closest to the Lord, whenever we feel our most upright and most holiest day, we see in Psalms it's just dirty rags. Our cleanliness in our best day is still nothing in comparison of the holiness and the greatness of God. And so, for me, one of the things I had to learn is not to beat myself up so much about coming to the Lord, is that I can go to Him knowing that He will forgive and knowing that He does forgive. And the fact that, it's simply by grace that we're alive. Have you ever thought about that, about the background workings that God does in our lives on a daily basis, on an hour by hour, minute by minute basis? It's pretty crazy. Everyone take a deep breath in and out. That was a gift from God. That breath in our lungs today is simply that, a gift of God. And we need Him to be alive. We need that to be breathed into us, to be alive physically and spiritually. We need that. Has anyone ever heard the analogy of us in the world? And so we're in the sea, and there's just everyone is there in the sea kind of floating. And it's only whenever God kind of throws out a life preserve to us that we grab it and then kind of pull it in. Has anyone heard that analogy before? And that's us kind of being saved, is that we're there, we're floating. God says, hey, here's a lifeline, and it's our decision to grab it, and then God pulls us back in and we go through. Well, actually, you know, according to this, according to Ephesians, that analogy is actually like super wrong. Is that we're not just a bunch of people floating in the sea waiting for God to kind of rescue us. Is that we are dead in the bottom of the sea. We're dead in our sins. You know, dead people can't swim. Dead people can't grab life preserves. Dead people are dead. And so us being dead in our sins, we need the breath of life from God to breathe into us. Give us that life, which then gives us that ability to repent and to believe. But it starts off with that. So verse 4, but because of his great love for us, God rich in mercy, that we have been given that breath and that grace in order to receive forgiveness and receive repent and be able to repent, is because of him. And like I said earlier about the fact that, you know, I don't know if other people struggle with that of sin and feeling they need to kind of repent before they can even start praying or anything like that. But this is something to encourage you. There's a guy called Richard Sibbs. He's written loads of books. If anyone's ever read him, he's fantastic. But he has this really great quote. It says, "For we have this as a foundation of truth, that there is more mercy in Christ than sin in us." I'm just going to read that again. We have this as a foundation truth, that there is more mercy in Christ than sin in us. And that's an amazing thing to think about. Like, because I look at my life and I look in my heart and my mind and I know that I have sin. You know, I know the magnitude of that sin. I know it. I see it. And the fact that I feel as a sinner, sinful, and yet seeing God's grace is bigger than that and deeper than that and stronger than that is, I think, is outstanding. Like, it really does blow my mind to think about the grace that God has. The mercy that he has is so deep, and it's so wide, and it's so accessible for those who are in him. And it's just, it really, really just makes you think about all the goodness and the greatness that's in God, that's in him and through him. You know, it's only by his grace that we have... So, I mean, you know, a big Bible fan of mine. Let me reword all of that. Someone I really like in the Bible is Paul. Now, Paul, what does he call himself? The chief of sinners. He's the chief of sinners, and he was probably, especially to the disciples, the most unlikely convert ever. You know, a guy who was there holding the coats of his buddies, stoning Stephen. We see him a few days later, hit by grace. We see him completely transformed. We see his life completely renewed. And we can look at his life and we can see the things that were in him and just be like, man, that guy, he needed a big dose of grace in order to have turned that way. But because of that grace, we have... you know, book after book after book in the New Testament written by Paul, the guy who was the one who was seeking out Christians at one point, then is the one that's written a big chunk of the New Testament. But because of this great love for us, God is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace that we have been saved. And I think, I don't know about you, but I feel so often it's good to remind ourselves of the gospel. Remind ourselves of the grace that we have received. Remind ourselves of the love that Christ has for us. Because I think often we can just get into our routines of doing stuff, going through life, and reminding ourselves about where we were. That we were dead in our sins. We were at the bottom of the sea, dead in our sins, unable to save ourselves, unable to clean ourselves off, unable to turn towards Jesus, and having him breathe life into us, having him remove our sins filling us with this Holy Spirit and giving us new purpose and new life. And I think, you know, just reminding ourselves of that, that we were once dead in our transgressions and sins. And then the hope that we have in the back end of it, of verse 5, but we've been made alive with Christ. Even when we are dead in our transgressions, it's by grace you have been saved. And I just want to encourage us today that as we look at our lives, you know, I don't know if anyone is struggling with anything. I don't know if anyone, you know, has anything that they just feel they maybe need to resubmit to the Lord. Of that thing that you may be struggling with is not greater than God's grace. It's not bigger than Him. You know, I don't know about you guys, but being in this COVID situation, it feels massive, doesn't it? You know, it's global. And the scale of which it happened and how quick it happened, I look at it and just think, you know, it's overwhelming to think about the amount of people that have been affected by it all. But God's grace is still bigger than it. And it's one of those things that just, you know, it gets me excited because God's grace is bigger than it all. You know, He's bigger than our worries, He's bigger than our fears, He's bigger than our doubts, and He's certainly bigger than our sins. And it was that moment, you know, whenever all that kind of clicked in my head and in my heart, that I was just like, I have to submit to this. You know, I can't not. I have to do it. It was irresistible for me. And it was simply because God's grace was hitting me time and time again. You know, I look at the situation back then whenever I was 16 years old outside of my school waiting for Josh to pick me up. And I was thinking, man, this is going to be weird. I'm getting in a car with a guy I've spoken to about 2 seconds and I'm going to eat lunch with him. What the heck am I going to talk to him about? But it was then that moment of grace, of something that I can see as a moment of grace whenever God graciously made it to where I forgot my wallet. Because if it wasn't for that moment of me forgetting my wallet, I don't know where I would be. You know, I don't know where I would have gone. I don't know what I would have done. But I certainly wouldn't have gotten in the car with Josh. And I certainly wouldn't have gone to eat with him. And I certainly wouldn't have heard the things that I heard. And so, you know, it's one of those things of that grace is just all over the place in our lives. And the cool thing is looking back sometimes and seeing where God kind of touched again and again and again.